Will the Senate please come to order? And will the members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 19 members present this morning.
Please stand for the invocation by Dr. Paul Barron, Pastor, Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, from you comes every good and perfect gift. Your living presence can turn even our discouragements into delights. Thank you for our families, those who stick with us through sunshine and shadow. Thank you for the gift of health that allows us to serve in this Senate. This day, help us to live in the fullness of life which you hourly provide. Save us from focusing on that which we think we lack, and so robs us of the joy of this day. You have entrusted the reins of weighty responsibility to us. Grant us vision to see the big picture, diligence to do our homework, integrity to do the right as we see it, and the wisdom to know when to be resolute and when to compromise. Help us to serve that many others may be empowered. In the name of him who came not to be served, but to serve, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Senator Osterman, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. That brings us to the certification of the journal. Madam Secretary.
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 107th legislative day.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be approved and certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the journal is approved and certified by the Senate Secretary. That brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction? Senator Torgers.
I have two constituents and friends from Homer that are here in the Capitol, have been for about a week. First, I'd like to introduce Diane McBride and Toby Wheeler. Please help me welcome them.
Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the Crow Gallery, I have a friend, a constituent, a person I look to for a reasoned voice in mining issues in Fairbanks. Her name is Mara Bacalaki, and Mara is visiting Juneau for her first time and will be here for a couple of weeks. She's very active in the Northern Alaska Environmental Center. She's the director of the Neighborhood Mine Watch and a member of Alaska Conservation Voters. If you'd please welcome to the Senate, Ms. Mara Bacalaki.
Senator Ward.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. In the Grove Gallery, I don't believe he's a constituent of mine, but he certainly is a friend of mine. I would like to introduce the former mayor of Anchorage, the Honorable George Sullivan.
Further guests for introduction, Senator Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the Grove Gallery, the Ziegler Gallery, we have a former school board member in Fairbanks, Cheryl Kilgore.
Senator Elton.
In Senator Ziegler's gallery, Mr. President, we have a frequent visitor to the Capitol building, but he usually goes to the third floor where he visits his father. He's a constituent of mine, Juneau Douglas High School student, and a basketball player, for those of you who have played basketball, Joe Ayers. If the body could help me welcome him.
Further guests for introduction, Senator Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I also have a constituent with the Phillips Civic Action Program from District J, Gina Lucky.
Further guests for introduction, Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm still not used to saying Phillips, Alaska, but I'll try. I have three guests here today who are constituents with the Phillips CAP program. The first is Katie Neher. And, hi, Katie. The second is Melissa Wanamaker. And the third is Paula Harris. Please help me welcome them to the Senate.
Further guests for introduction. If there's no further guests for introduction, that brings us to messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House.
Message dated April 24th, the House of Representatives respectfully invites the Senate to a joint session of the legislature at 2 p.m. Sunday, May 6th, to take up the confirmation of the governor's appointees.
Senator, let's stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? We're under messages from the House, Madam Secretary.
Message dated April 24th, stating the House has passed and transmitted for consideration. CS for House Joint Resolution Number 27, MLV, by the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs, supporting the erection of monuments in Alaska, Russia, and Canada to commemorate the World War II Lend-Lease Program between the United States and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
State Affairs.
House Bill Number 3 by Representatives Roakeberg, Murkowski, Davies, Hudson, Stevens, Green, Fate, James, Sisna. An act relating to deposits to the Alaska Permanent Fund from mineral lease rentals, royalties, royalty sale proceeds, net profit shares under AS 3805-180F and G, federal mineral revenue sharing payments received by the state from mineral leases and bonuses received by the state from mineral leases, and limiting deposits from those sources to the 25% required under Article 9, Section 15, Constitution of the State of Alaska, and providing for an effective date.
Resources, State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 76, Finance, by the House Finance Committee, an act providing for and relating to the issuance of certificates of participation to finance construction of a new facility to be known as the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, giving notice of and approving the entry into and the issuance of certificates of participation in a lease purchase agreement for construction of a new facility to be known as the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, giving notice of the intent and approval to retain investment income from pertinent appropriations to be applied to the cost of construction of a new facility to be known as the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, related to the construction of a facility to be known as the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, and providing for an effective date.
Hess, the Finance.
CS for House Bill Number 101, Finance, by the House Finance Committee, an act relating to charter schools and providing for an effective date.
Hess, the Finance.
CS for House Bill Number 102, Judiciary, by the House Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the theft of propelled vehicles.
Judiciary and Finance.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 120, amended, by Representatives Coghill and McGuire, an act adopting the National Crime Prevention and Privacy Compact, making criminal justice information available to interested persons and criminal history record information available to the public, making certain conforming amendments and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary.
CS for House Bill Number 210, Judiciary, amended by the House Judiciary Committee, an act relating to sexual assault and sexual abuse of a minor.
Judiciary.
Message dated April 24th, stating the House has passed CS for Senate Bill Number 93, Finance, with the following amendment, page 2, line 15, following report, insert annually. And so, CS for Senate Bill Number 93, Finance, amended House, an act relating to the Arctic Winter Games Team Alaska Trust and providing for an effective date is transmitted for consideration.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate concur in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 93, Finance, thus adopting Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 93, Finance, amended House, and recommend a yes vote. The sponsor concurs with the amendment.
The question before the Senate is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment to Senate...
Explanation of what the change was.
Senator Phillips.
That the Senator would turn to page 2, line 15, the word annual has been added. That's the only change. So the Senator from Wrangell, this came from one of my own representatives.
Question before the Senate is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 93, thus adopting committee substitute, Senate Bill 93, Finance, amended House? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so, committee substitute, Senate Bill 93, Finance, amended House, has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas to 1 nay. Senator Lehman, the effective date.
We've been asking unanimous consent that the vote on final concurrence be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call on final passage and concurrence on committee substitute Senate Bill 93, Finance, amended House, will be considered the roll call on the effective date clause. Madam Secretary.
Message dated April 24th stating the House has failed to concur in the Senate amendment to CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 13, Judiciary, an act relating to municipal service areas and providing for voter approval of the formation, alteration, or abolishment of certain service areas, namely Senate CS for CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 13, Rules. Respectfully request the Senate to recede from its amendment. In the event the Senate fails to recede, the Speaker has appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to consider the bills. Representative Bundy, Chair, Representative Coghill, Representative Davies.
Senator Lehman. Senator will stand at ease, please. Please come back to order, Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate recede from its amendment to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 13, Judiciary, and recommend a no vote.
The question before the Senate is, shall the Senate recede from our amendment to committee substitute, sponsor substitute House Bill 13, Rules? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll? And so the Senate has failed to recede from our amendment to sponsor substitute House Bill 13 Rules. At this time, I'm going to appoint a conference committee chaired by Senator Phillips with Senator Terrio and Senator Olson as members of that conference committee.
Those are all the messages from the House this morning, Mr. President.
Communications?
And there are no communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 83, an act relating to construction of highways by the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, recommends a Finance Committee substitute be adopted, previous zero fiscal note attached, signing do pass, Senators Donnelly and Kelly co-chairs, Senators Wilkin and Ward. Signing do not pass, Senator Hoffman and Olson. Signing no recommendation, Senators Osterman and Lehman. Senate Bill number 83 has no further referral.
Rules.
Finance Committee considered sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 149, Student Loan Forgiveness, Education and Healthcare, recommends the Health, Education and Social Services Committee substitute be adopted, previous fiscal and zero fiscal notes attached. Signing do pass, Senators Donnelly and Kelly co-chairs, Senators Green, Osterman, Hoffman, Olson, Wilkin, Lehman, and Ward. Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 149 has no further referral.
Rules.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 152, Department of Transportation related contract claims, fiscal and zero fiscal notes, indeterminate fiscal notes attached. Signing do pass, Senators Donnelly and Kelly co-chairs, Senators Wilkin, Ward, and Lehman. Signing do not pass, Senator Hoffman. Signing no recommendation, Senator Olson. Senate Bill number 152 has no further referral.
Rules.
Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 168, an act relating to loans made by the Commercial Fishing Loan Program, recommends the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute be adopted, zero fiscal note attached. Signing no recommendation, Senator Phillips, Chair. Signing no recommendation, Senators Torgerson, Davis, Osterman, and Lehman. Senate Bill number 168 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. Finance Committee considers Senate Bill number 174 relating to education funding, recommends Finance Committee substitute be adopted, fiscal note attached. Signing due pass, Senators Donnelly and Kelly co-chairs, Senators Green, Wilkin, and Ward. Signing do not pass, Senators Osterman, Hoffman, and Olson. Signing no recommendation, Senator Lehman. Senate Bill number 174 has no further referral.
Rules.
Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 176, an act relating to distributorships, recommends the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute be adopted, zero fiscal note attached. Signing due pass, Senator Phillips, Chair, Senators Davis, Osterman, Lehman, and Torgerson. Senate Bill number 176 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. State Affairs Committee considered House Bill number 137 relating to records of veterans of the armed forces. Previous zero fiscal note attached. Signing due pass, Senator Terrio, Chair, Senators Davis, Pierce, and Phillips. House Bill number 137 has no further referral.
Rules.
State Affairs Committee considered CS for House Concurrent Resolution number 1, Rules Amended, relating to establishing a task force on statewide comprehensive energy plan, recommends a State Affairs Senate Committee substitute be adopted, previous zero fiscal note attached. Signing no recommendation, Senator Terrio, Chair, Senator Pierce. Signing due pass, Senator Davis and Phillips. CS for House Concurrent Resolution number 1, Rules Amended, has a further referral to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 178, Detention of Delinquent Minors. Signing for placement on the calendar, Senator Pierce, Chair, Senators Cowdery, Phillips, Terrio, and Ellis. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 183, Attorney Fees, Appointment, Public Interest Litigants, signing for placement on the calendar, Senator Pierce, Chair, Senators Terrio, Cowdery, and Phillips, signing Do Not Pass, Senator Ellis. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 187, relating to absentee voting stations, signing for placement on the calendar, Senator Pierce, Chair, Senators Phillips, Cowdery, and Terrio, signing under other recommendations, Senator Ellis. These bills appear on today's calendar. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate concurrent resolution number 11 by the Senate Resources Committee, suspending rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E, uniform rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill number 61, authorizing the Commissioner of Fish and Game to award grants for habitat restoration or enhancement projects.
Could we stand at ease, please? Will Senate please come back to order? We're on Senate concurrent resolution number 11. That is a title change resolution. We'll go to rules.
Those are all the resolutions this morning, Mr. President.
Senate bills for introduction.
Senate Bill number 204 by Senator Green, an act relating to wildfires and other natural disasters.
Let's put that in Judiciary and Resources.
Senate Bill number 205 by Senator Green, an act relating to control of nuisance wild animals and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
Senate Bill number 206 by Senator Donnelly, an act relating to registration plates and parking permits for persons with disabilities and to illegal use of parking spaces for persons with disabilities.
State Affairs.
Those are all the bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
That brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 178 by Senator Terrio, an act relating to the detention of delinquent minors and to temporary detention hearings, amending Rule 12, Alaska Delinquency Rules, and providing for an effective date. Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill. Zero fiscal note attached, signing due pass, Senator Lehman, Vice Chair, Senators Wilkin, Ward, and Davis. Judiciary Committee considered the bill. Zero fiscal note attached, signing due pass, Senator Taylor, Chair, Senators Ellis and Terrio, signing no recommendation, Senator Cowdery. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendaring, signing the report, Senator Pierce, Chair, Senators Cowdery, Phillips, Terrio, and Ellis. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
Move and ask unanimous consent to Senate Bill 178 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 178 is considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Senate Bill number 178, an act relating to the detention of delinquent minors and to temporary detention hearings, amending Rule 12, Alaska Delinquency Rules, providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? The question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 178. If there's no debate, members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary record the roll? Senate Bill 178 has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas to 0 nays. Senator Lehman.
I ask unanimous consent that the vote on final passage be considered the vote on the court rule change.
Without objection, the roll call on final passage of Senate Bill 178 will be considered the roll call on the court rule change. Senator Lehman.
I move to ask unanimous consent that the vote on final passage be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call on final passage of Senate Bill 178 will also be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Senate Bill number 183 by the Senate Finance Committee, an act relating to public interest litigants and to attorney fees and amending Rule 82, Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure. Finance Committee considered the bill. Zero fiscal note attached, signing due pass, Senator Donnelly, co-chair. Senators Green, Ward, Lehman, signing no recommendation, Senator Kelly, co-chair. Senators Osterman, Hoffman, Olson, and Wilkin. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendaring, signing the report, Senator Pierce, chair, Senators Terrio, Cowdery, and Phillips. Signing do not pass, Senator Ellis. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 183 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection to the advancement of Senate Bill 183. The question before the Senate is, shall Senate Bill 183 advance from second to third reading on the same legislative day? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so, by a vote of 14 yeas to 6 nays, Senate Bill 183 fails to advance on the same legislative day. Will be on tomorrow's calendar in third reading.
Senate Bill number 187 by Senator Ward, an act relating to absentee voting stations. State Affairs Committee considered the bill, recommends the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted. Zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Terrio, Chair, Senators Phillips and Davis. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends the Finance Committee substitute be adopted. Signing due pass, Senators Kelly and Donnelly, co-chair, Senators Green, Olson, Wilkin, Ward, Lehman. Signing no recommendation, Senators Osterman and Hoffman. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendaring. Signing the report, Senator Pierce, Chair, Senators Phillips, Cowdery, and Terrio. Signing under other recommendations, Senator Ellis. There are two committee substitutes.
Senator Kelly?
I move the Finance Committee substitute in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Senator Kelly.
There was a change on page 2 of the bill, right at the top of the page there on line 1. It changed it from 30 days before each election to 45. So the change is just a simple date change.
Is the objection to the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute maintained? Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute is before us in lieu of the original bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 187, Finance, an act relating to absentee and special needs voting. I have no amendments.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute Senate Bill 187, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute Senate Bill 187, Finance, is considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
CS for Senate Bill number 187, Finance, an act relating to absentee and special needs voting.
Is there debate? If not, the question before the Senate is final passage, committee substitute, Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't think there's been a great deal of controversy about the legislation, but one thing that was pointed out to me is that the way it's currently written, the bill would not allow the Elections Division to start early voting in years when the ballots the election ballots are available early. I believe that happened last year, and the voters had an extra period of time to go and vote absentee. So I would caution us to think about voter convenience, not about candidate convenience or political party convenience to printing our brochures and getting this information out there, but really that if there's an opportunity for people to have more time for absentee voting, that's a convenience for the voter. It encourages better participation and something that we would all favor. So I would encourage the members to rethink this. I think there's an attempt here to have some more certainty, a date certain, for when the ballots are available, but why not? When the ballots are available early, the print shop gets them done early, they're available in Alaska, why not put the convenience of the voter ahead of our own convenience? So I would encourage folks to vote against the bill or rethink the bill and try and do the voters a service rather than someone else.
Senator Ward.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. What the bill does, we had in regulation, and past history has been 15 days. There have been a few times that has not been followed by the Director of Elections. What this does, this places into law that it will be 15 days, it will be identified, and this will give ample opportunity for the citizens to be notified of when and where absentee voting will take place. The last election, at least in my mind, showed very clearly that there was a need so that people did know exactly when the voting would be opening and where it was going to be opened. And so instead of leaving it up to the discretion of the Director of Elections, this puts the regulation into law. Thank you, and I would ask for a yes vote.
Question before the Senate is final passage. A committee substitute, Senate Bill 187, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute, Senate Bill 187, Finance, has passed the Senate by a vote of 11 yeas to 6 nays.
Citations honoring Annie Bartlett, Irma Belts, Ruth Burnett, and June Rogers, honoring Kenneth Thomas Sr., honoring Rainey Deal, honoring Marion Johnson, Director of Baranoff Museum, honoring Nathan Allen James, Eagle Scout, in memoriam, Donald Bowers.
Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the six citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations appearing on today's calendar are approved. That brings us to the end of the calendar. It brings us to unfinished business. Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent I be shown as a cross-sponsor on House Bill 111, Civil Liability and Livestock.
Without objection, Senator Pierce will be shown as a cross-sponsor on House Bill 111. Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on SB 187.
Reconsideration of Senate Bill 187 is noted. Senator Osterman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to be asking unanimous consent that I be shown as a cross-sponsor for House Bill Number 3, Enact Relating to Deposit of the Alaska Permanent Fund for Mineral Lease.
Without objection, Senator Osterman will be shown as a cross-sponsor on House Bill 3. Senator Lehman.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a cross-sponsor on House Bill 101. This is an act related to charter schools.
Without objection, Senator Lehman will be shown as a cross-sponsor on House Bill 101, as will Senator Taylor, and Senator Davis and Senator Cowdery. And Senator Donnelly. Senator Taylor.
Yeah, I move and ask unanimous consent be shown as co-sponsor on Senate Bill 204 introduced today, wildfires.
Without objection, Senator Taylor will be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 204. Was that? Okay. Further unfinished business? Could we stand at ease, please? Please come back to order. We're still under unfinished business. Announcements. Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, two things. The first is that today is National Secretary's Day, and the beautiful flowers over here in front of our secretaries are at least a small token of saying thanks, and we thank you, and I think on behalf of the Senate, I can say we can give you applause for the fine work that you do, and also for those in this rest of this building who do a very fine job as secretaries. So thanks. And the second is that we're going to have a Republican Majority Caucus following adjournment today, about 10 minutes after adjournment, time to pick up food in the Senate President's office.
Senator Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. President. In lieu of the fact that we will probably also have a majority caucus tonight, we're going to cancel Senate Finance.
Further announcements? Senator Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to make it known for the members of the body that in Senate Hess, we're going to be continuing the discussion on Monday of the proposal we've had for the expansion of Medicaid. And we've had numerous discussions on Medicaid, and we continue to look at what the impact of the expansion of Medicaid is and its impact on Alaska and the continuing expansion in dollars of that amount each year. Some of the members have shared with me that they feel like it is necessary that we continue in these hearings to compare what is at need at most, because we have a number of adults who are currently need of preventive dentistry, which has never been funded in this state. We have some of those programs for the disabled, the elderly, the needy, pregnant women, and various groups, including TB, Alzheimer, dementia, some of which could be implemented by our own Department of Health and Social Services if they chose through regulation. We're busy comparing the cost, the needs, and what members of the community at this state thinks the direction we should go, and certainly the members of the Senate who've been involved in telling us to continue as we look at the impact at any time we expand Medicaid, and knowing that the expansion of Medicaid only leads to the expansion of Medicaid, and in succeeding years will always, always be a higher dollar figure, regardless of any cost containment measures our oversight we put onto that program. So we will be continuing that hearing in Senate Hess on Monday. Thank you.
Senator Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a quick comment on an observation that I...
We're under announcement.
Oh, excuse me. My apologies. How about special orders?
Further announcements? Special orders, Senator Kelly.
Never mind. No, I just a comment is today we were hearing a bill in... Senate Finance, and it had to do with allowing retired teachers to come back and fill in some of the spaces that we have, some gaping spaces out there regarding teachers in the state, particularly in rural Alaska. And I think the state is suffering under, I think the term that we've heard many times in some communities, it's an acute teacher shortage. And we also heard just a few days ago and then passed out of this body the other bill that dealt with alternative certifications and actually allowing people to come into the classroom and expanding the kinds of people that we can bring into the classroom, the people that bring different work experiences and different education levels to also fill in the gaps on the teacher shortage and to just give a little different look on education. We also had the competency exam that is currently being fought out, and it's not without its controversy, but sometimes good things come out of a great deal of controversy. And we have a bill that is also controversial, but it deals with a funding level that I think we'll be seeing here pretty soon. And I think it's time to pat ourselves on the back a little bit over the fact that we do have some education problems in this state, and there are some concrete measures being taken by this body that have actually been being taken certainly for many years, but certainly over the past few years, stepping step by step to make the education system in this state better, whether it's through exams, whether it's through increased funding, or competency exams with teachers, or years ago we even addressed the teacher tenure issue. But this body and the other body, both majority and minority, deserve credit for the fact that we're not just sitting back and letting the education question go by us unaddressed. And I just think we should all congratulate each other on that.
Further special orders, Senator Davis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to have the opportunity to speak on breast and cervical cancer.
Senator Davis.
Thank you very much. Before I begin my remarks, I'd like to say to the previous speaker from the Wasilla area that spoke about Medicaid, I do agree with the comments that have been made about Medicaid and that there should be some a major discussion and some work done on that issue. But the issue that I would like to discuss with you today has something to do with breast and cervical cancer, a bill that was introduced on this side, which is Senate Bill 38. It was introduced by the governor on the 16th of January. It was assigned to three committees. It has passed through Labor and Commerce and has been sitting in HES committee since March the 13th. It has not had any public hearing except for one person was allowed on last Monday to speak because she would not be in town next week. I would like for you to know that there is a screening program that has been quite effective for several years, since the 90s, has been quite effective. We did not have a treatment strand to that. And we have an opportunity now to enroll into the Medicaid program a group of women that has already been screened and diagnosed with cervical or breast cancer. There are 40 women waiting for treatment that do not have insurance. And if we would pass Senate Bill 38, we would be able to allow those women to get treatment for their diseases. If not treated, they will die immediately. Some will die while we are debating. I say there's a time for all things, there's a time for debate, but I say it's time to stop the debate and take issues and make action. And I want to make sure that everybody, all 20 of us in this body, understand what this program is. It would allow women to be enrolled into this program that meets 250% above the poverty level, which is a high percentage, but I have passed out a list to you showing you that 35 other states already have reached that mark, 250%. It's not very much money when you look at it. It's a family of four, maybe with $50,000, and that is gross and not net. We're talking about women without any insurance, and if these women were given an opportunity to have this treatment, they would be willing to pay part of that money, and they would, under this particular provision, have to pay 5% of the amount of money for the treatment. They would also be able to give money towards prescription drugs, $2 per prescription, and when they had office visit, $3 for the visit. It's not asking very much for this state to come up with a $174,000 match, which would be a 37 split between the state and the federal government. I do believe that it's time for us to take some action, and I hope that we will consider passing this bill this year, because many of the people won't be around next year while we debate and decide what we should add or take away from Medicaid. And for that reason, I stand here today asking us to consider Senate Bill 38. And also, there is a bill on the other side that is coming, I think it's in finance in the other body, that they have heard that bill. It is the same bill that the governor introduced. At some point before we adjourn here on May the 8th, it would be my hope that we will, as legislators, look at what we can do now. Not what all the problems are and what we can solve at a later time, but what can we do at this point. I hope that we all will be able to leave a legacy that we can be proud of when we leave this body. I don't believe that I was appointed to this body just by chance. I think I'm here for a reason. Just as the 19 of you, I do believe that you were put here for a cause. And I plead with you, consider Senate Bill 38 as something that we can do and leave a legacy to say that we did something that was in the best interest of people and will go down in history for that. And I thank you.
Further special orders? If not, Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, I request the special privilege of the floor to speak on the same topic.
Senator Lehman, on the same topic.
Mr. President, I don't mean to engage in debate on this, but I wouldn't want the impression to be left with anybody watching or anybody here that because of the bill being in the HES committee that there are 40 women in Alaska waiting for treatment that are somehow, the treatment is delayed because of this. That is not the testimony that we've heard in the HES committee. In fact, I'm very pleased that treatment is available to people who have been diagnosed, and it's available with dispatch immediately, and that is what we've been told. The real question comes down to which cost-shifting method is more appropriate. Is it the one where you take money from the federal government and shift the cost that way, or is it the one that's in place now in Alaska where the doctors and hospitals take on that responsibility? But I wouldn't want anybody to be left with the impression that anybody here is so callous as to delay treatment to anybody who has a very, very deadly cancer, and that certainly is not the case.
Senator Green?
Mr. President, if I could speak on the same topic, just briefly, please.
Same topic and special order, Senator Green.
Yeah, thank you. I just recall that in Senate House on Monday, we learned that over 320 women have been treated through the regular Medicaid program for breast and cervical cancer this last year, and that as a reminder, most Medicaid programs require that the need level, which is the basis of Medicaid, is the truly needy, the elderly, the disabled, pregnant women and children, are at a level of 133% of the poverty level. We are now increasing that the match of the federal poverty level to nearly double what we have traditionally required all other Medicaid applicants and participants to be limited to. This is a major departure. This must be a very thoughtful process before we approve a new program in Medicaid that still leaves hundreds, literally hundreds of people with far less economic ability to pay themselves through an incident and equally as compelling a medical condition. Our problem is, how do we choose which of these people is and which of these programs we prioritize and put to the head of the class and say, you are an exception, and versus all the other people who have to maintain a very, very, very low standard of living and have no assets, have very little property, have no more than 133% of the poverty level. We're suddenly saying the only criteria for you to participate in this is to be uninsured, to not make more than 250% of the poverty level. And we feel like there are dozens, if not hundreds, of people with equally compelling diseases, be they prostate, colorectal, certain lung diseases. The cancers of this nation, you know, are all indeed terrible, and we're trying to find out how do we most fairly implement an expansion of Medicaid. Thank you.
Mr. President, I know this is an unusual request, but would you allow me to at least speak to several things that have been said since it was a topic that I started the debate on? Because there are two sides to this issue.
Senator, if you again request,
could I request the floor permission
under special orders, you can.
Under special orders. Thank you very much.
Senator, go ahead.
I won't belabor this much longer. I just want to say The comments were made that there were places for people to get treatment without us providing this particular program for the people. That what was being referred to is that, yeah, if you don't have insurance, it's a possibility that the doctors might treat you if you can find someone to do it. It's a possibility that you can get the surgery done for free. But why would we want to belittle people when we can help them save their dignity by providing this particular service to them? And this 250% above poverty level is the only way these people would be able to get the services that have been alluded to by the senator from Wasilla. They won't meet the 133% criteria. That's the reason for this program. That's why they came up with the screening program. We are already a part of that program, have been doing the screening at the 250% level. We have already let the horse out of the barn. Now all of a sudden, because now there's a string that say that we can provide 250% above the poverty level for those women to get treatment, just not the screening, not just to be told that you have it and don't have anywhere to go. This would allow us to allow them to get that treatment up under this program. When this program was voted up on in the Congress, it was a bipartisan thing that we could be proud of. All 100 people in the Senate voted for it. And everybody but one in the House voted for that because they see the urgency of it. And you named all of those other programs, other diseases that are out there. There's nothing more prevalent than disease, and women are dying from that. And that's why that has been given high priority. And I urge with you to read the information for yourself and not just listen to the debate here on the floor today. But I do say it's time for us to take action to help those 40 women that have been identified. And many women have already died because they did not get the treatment. And no, they don't have the insurance, but they are willing to pay what they can pay. And why would we want people to spend down all of their savings just to save a life? We could help these people if we consider the 250% level.
Further special orders. Senator Lehman.
I move that the Senate adjourn until 11 a.m. tomorrow, which is Thursday, April 26th.
The Senate stands adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow.